Amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. My name is Ben Kendrew. I am the pastor here at the Bridge City Church Brighton Heights location. It's a joy to be with you. I'm excited. We have some visitors here with us for the baptism at the end, so we're going to get to it. But as we're in a new sermon series, as we think about what it means to start over and to have New Year's resolutions, I believe, like, as a believer, I think New Year's resolutions in and of themselves are good. They are. They're good. But as a believer, we're called to have more of a focus. We're called to have more of an intentionality with the way in which we live out our lives with purpose and authenticity. And so we're thinking about what it looks like, that biblical phrase to seek first. Say seek first for me. All right, some of you are awake. I appreciate that. But it's you know, there's nothing like New Year's. I know that as a dad, I look forward to spending that time with New Year's. How many of you have ever done the YouTube version for New Year's Eve where you let the ball drop at like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock and your kids are like, yeah? I used to do that with my kids too. But it, you know, that New Year is I got to spend it with my family, and there's nothing quite like it feels like, you know, just a fresh start, the beginning of a new year, to kind of refocus and get in alignment with what God wants for our lives. That, to me, I love the beginning of a new year. That to me, it's incredible. So nothing helps us to kind of get more focused. Some of us are just still tired from the Christmas. How many of you are still tired from Christmas? Okay, some of you are ready to go. But it's this feeling of doing over and seeking God first in all that we're doing. That's the kind of the what we're looking here is, what does that mean for us to seek God first in this new year? What are we seeking? What are we putting our eyes to? What is our hearts turned toward? What are we setting our hearts and minds and our lives to? Is it the problems that we might have? Is it the things that we see in the world and the news? Or are we truly seeking first Jesus and his kingdom? And so that's why I love starting the new year with communion and worship, that we're truly trying to set out here at the Brighton Heights campus to seek God first and remember all that he had done for us. The tension is this. The tension when you start in a new year, you're not always guaranteed that things are going to go according to plan, is it? Like, it's not always going to go smoothly. Jesus himself said, in this life you will have trouble. But he also said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And so there's hope in that. But what does change is the calendar. What does change is we're moving forward. But what doesn't have to change is that we can continue to seek Jesus in the new year. We can respond with our lives. We can respond with our hearts and minds. That whatever comes down the calendar, whatever comes our way, that we can start with seeking Christ first. I'm going to share a story with you. On New Year's Day, we got up. Mel and I had coffee. We had the fake fireplace on the TV above the real fireplace. My daughter's there, the dog there, it's beautiful. My son calls, he's in Ohio. He's in Ohio with his high school buddies. He goes, hey, what's going on, guys? We're like, why are you calling us? What's going on? He doesn't call us just out of the blue just to talk. He's a 22-year-old guy. So he finally gets down to it and he says, Dad, I cut myself. I'm like, how did you cut yourself? You're 22. Well, I was horsing around with my friends and I cut my thigh. So immediately he had to go to the doctors and get 6 stitches, pretty deep cut. And that's how he started his new year. So I said, Happy New Year, right? But I said to him, I was like, it doesn't mean that your year is going to be bad. It's how you're going to respond to that. And it's the same for us. Whatever's on our path, whatever's in our schedule, whatever's in front of us, how we respond to that matters. And I want to encourage you in this new year to seek first the kingdom of God. That's what I'm encouraging you to do this morning. So what will you seek? What will I seek? And I'm gonna encourage you. Let's do this together. Let's seek first the kingdom of God. If you have your phone with you, or if you have a camera, which I don't know why you would, you can take. There's some scriptures I want to share with you. You can write them down on note cards. You know, look to them later. Highlight them in your Bible. Highlight them on your phone app. But I just want to encourage you some new beginnings and some thoughts to kind of refocus us and line us with God's Word and His Holy Spirit. Isaiah, first one is this. Isaiah 43:18-19. It says this. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so God's doing a new thing. This is a reminder that some of us are in the wilderness or come from the wilderness, but he's still going to make a new thing in our lives. How about this one? Here's another one that you could write down on a card. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18 says this. Therefore, anytime there's a therefore, it's important. in Scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, whom through Christ reconciled us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Before I came up here, Beth Gross came up to me and talked about the hope in this new creation type, in this relationship that we got. Like, so many of us come into this new year like needing more hope and something to look forward to. But we have a hope in Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank Beth for coming up and sharing that there's this hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that if we have a relationship with him, we are new creations. And so there's that hope that we have that the world needs to hear. They need you to speak into their lives. How about this one? Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. It says this: the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Everything new. And then he said to me, "Write down, for what I am telling you is trustworthy and true." God speaking to John. And so trustworthy and true, and everything is new. Again, it's this idea of starting over and resetting and focusing our lives. And even in Scripture, in the pages of Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament, we see that God is active and he's doing things new and he's moving people in the direction to seek first his kingdom. How about this one from Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, out of the Message. This is pretty cool. This time I'm writing out of the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. They won't go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God in 5 Easy Lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand. And so that's what God, that's who he is. That's what he's like. He's a loving, good God who wants to get to know you firsthand. And it says a lot. So if we're seeking God, where are you? God is desiring a relationship with you. He's that hope that you have in this life when it feels hopeless. And then finally, here's one, Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. This has got a lot of mileage at the Hobby Lobby, hasn't it? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And a hope. And so listen, as we think about 2026, what is it going to look like? You just survived 2025. But here's the thing. Well, we're in Christ and we're seeking his kingdom. There is hope for you. There is hope for the world. And so that's what we need to cling to in times of difficulty and doubt and struggle. And then when things are going well, is that's what we're called to, is to cling to the hope and proclaim the hope. Beth's just telling me that she was sharing the hope that she has in Christ. And I want to encourage you to do that too. If you know Jesus and you have this hope that he has rescued you and redeemed you and restored you, then you need to share that with the world. You have a mission field. It's called your family. It's called your neighborhood. It's called your place of employment, right? Share that. Share your hope with others that need to hear it. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be launching out of in the Gospel of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 34. It talks about what I'm talking about here is seeking first the kingdom of God. It's the passage where it's Jesus reminding that first century audience and his disciples and his followers and those that might not even know who he was, he's reminding them to seek first. And this is what it says. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things." So God knows what you need. He knows what's going on in your life. He sees you. He knows you. He cares. He loves you. Look at verse 33. This is what it says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it really does. It talks about placing a priority in seeking God and his ways and his truth and his word and his righteousness. That's what we're called to do, is seek that first. Not our own agendas, not our political agendas, not our whatever it is. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God. And so as Jesus was proclaiming that to that first century audience, it's relevant for us today in 2026. So we're called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it goes on to say, and all of these things shall be added to you. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is in its own trouble. And so here's the thing. Jesus is really, he's coming to them, and he's asking them, the disciples, the people that are following him, to have this attitude check. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? The disciples, his followers, they would jockey for position. Who's the greatest of the disciples? The moms got involved. You know, think about baseball moms or soccer moms. They were trying to figure out who was the greatest of the disciples. But even then, Jesus is trying to remind them and center them and align them to the mission. They wanted him to be on mission, and the mission was what God had for them, his kingdom. His kingdom. When we think about that word, the kingdom, it's a beautiful word. We think about all these different things, but the kingdom has a lot more than what we may think it does. It's more than the magical kingdom. It's more than, like, you know, King Arthur. It's more than that, right? It's so much more than that. But when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're doing so. We think about what it physically, Jesus talks about, seek first physically, right here, right now, seeking first him in all that we do. That includes whatever we're going through is seeking him, what we have. And it says, worrying about tomorrow. Some of us are worriers. That's part of life, right? He recognizes that we're going to worry, but he's encouraging us not to worry, not to give in to that, but to think about all these things that God provides. God is a provider. He's one who gives us provision through finance, through our physical needs. He meets those, and he also meets our spiritual needs. He is that provider. And so when we have that perspective shift, when we think about what are the things we're worrying about today, what did you bring into this sanctuary this morning that you're worried about? God knows what you're going through, but he wants you to know he's reminding you today, this morning, to seek first the kingdom of God. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain you have. He knows the struggles you have. He even worrying about the future. How many of you worry about the future? What's going to happen? I worry about that for my kids, but he's saying to seek. So the word seek means this, is to inquire, to investigate, to get to the bottom of the matter. Not to just kind of let it go and like let somebody else deal with it, but as we're doing this, we're called to, as followers of Jesus, if we want to know who this Jesus is, we're called to seek him with all that we have. And I just wonder this morning, are you seeking Jesus right now in your life with all that you have? Or are you just tired? And then it says first. It gives a priority placement. First, he says in that passage, it's an importance. It's before anything else. Before anything else, we're called to seek first the kingdom of God before anything else. And as a parent, that's tough to hear, right? And as someone that's trying to provide for their family, that's tough to hear, right? But he's saying, seek me first. Now I will give you all these other provisions. Now we look at this word kingdom. When we think about the word kingdom, what comes to mind? I mean, all kinds of stuff come to mind. But it's the rule of King Jesus, right? In our hearts, in our church, in the society that we live in. And the kingdom is the realm in which it's the kingdom of God is like this spiritual realm and this sovereign realm we're called to. And so it's this heavenly realm, but it's also here on earth. And so this kingdom, it requires a king. And guess who's not the king? You. Jesus is the king. And so as we're called to seek first King Jesus in our lives and not ourselves. And so when we look at kingdom, we think about that. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who gives us hope. He's the one that provides peace for our souls. He's the one that provides a way to the Father. And so he's that guy. He's the kingdom ruler, the king of the God's kingdom. So this kingdom has to have a priority in our lives. And I just wonder, what's the priority that you have in your life? Is it work? These are all good things. But I'm saying first, what's the first priority in your life? Is it your job? Right? All these things are important, but God is saying, if you put me first, watch what will happen. Look at the hope that you're going to have. Watch how I'll change your life. And that's what God is saying. What is first in your life? And so how do we do this? How do we really look first to the kingdom of God? And you can say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. And I understand it could sound like a Christian cliche, but it's not. It's a truth. It's a reality that we're called to live into today, that we're called to live and seek him first. As a parent, as a spouse, as a servant, as an employee, as a friend, everything that we do, everything should flow out of us as we seek God's kingdom. And when we do that, something happens to our hearts. It changes us from the inside out, as we sang from today. His righteousness, it helps guide our lives. The Holy Spirit helps guide our lives and what we're called to do. And so what is God doing? What is he doing? There's this thing that happens when people are far from God, when they kind of like fall away, what happens is they're disconnected from God. Something happened in their life where it disconnected. You think about your, I don't have my phone on me, but if you had your phone, it was connected to a charger, it gives you power. Something along the way happened in their life and they were disconnected. And so this is a reminder Jesus is giving here in Matthew that we're called to connect back to God, who's our source of energy and power. He's the one that helps us go through there and to connect. And so it's time for this. Listen, when we're connected and seeking first the kingdom of God, the things of our lives will begin to change and this includes the addictions, bondage, captivity to certain things in our lives, food, whatever that may be, worry. All those things have to go, right? They have to go in Jesus' name, and he wants to replace that with the hope that is found in Christ. And one of the things we do at Bridge City Church, what I love, is we start the new year. We're inviting you to do this, and it's to do prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, what does that look like? Well, I'm going to start with prayer and fasting. There's a right here on the screen above me. If you hit that QR code or you hit the code tag in front of you, there's a link that will take you to all the different resources and events that we have, worship nights and prayer nights that we have coming up. I want to encourage you to do that. That's one way you can help seek first and put a priority as you start 2026. That's one way you can do that. And so fasting, what does that look like? Well, fasting, what is, you know, you think of some monk in the desert or some Buddhist monk. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Christ is calling us to do. Fasting is, there's different types of fasting, right? The first one is a complete fast, whether you're only putting in your body just water only, that's a complete fast. Then there are selective fasts, where you can select where you're not going to eat meat or sweets or treats or breads, like carbs that you might like. That's a selective thing. You're giving up something and replacing it by spending that time in prayer. And then there's another way to fast, is this partial fast. The partial fast is eating a normal meal once a day, and then the other times of the day during those meals, you're fasting and praying and seeking God. And so one of the tools that Jesus did, he did this often. He says, when you fast, when you pray, this is one of the things that Jesus did. So if Jesus said to do it, why do we think we can't do it, right? And so as we're seeking the kingdom and his righteousness, what are the things we need to do? Is to pray and to fast, to pray and to fast. So we have a complete fast, a selective fast, a partial fast, and then we have the soul fast. The soul fast is this, it's this accelerator once we do all these other things, right? And to addition to all the above, we turn off distractions. Think about all the distractions that you have in your life. Social media, movies, music, the news, whatever that is. There's so many messed up things in our lives that distract and pull for our time. I just read this. This is an interesting thing. MTV shut down this past week. Isn't that amazing? Like they said, they claim they own, you know, youth culture, and then all of a sudden they're shut down. It was a distraction. So I say that is that there's so many distractions that only have a shelf life for a little bit of time, but God endures forever. And so I just want to encourage you, what are those things that are vying for position and jockeying for position in your time and energy? Identify those things and again, fast for them. Maybe it is social media. Maybe it's watching, you know, you're watching a ton of movies and you just need to spend some time in God and praying and reading his word or community with each other. Maybe that's what you need to do. And so there's different things that we can do to help break down what we're going through and to seek him during this time. So all of us can do something. We can all do something. Some of you are just like, well, I don't want to do that. Well, there's certain types of things you can do. I encourage you as you start this new year, do something. Get in your Bible. Start reading the Bible in a year plan or whatever that is. Do that. That's something you can do. You could fast once a week or join us as a church. The author, Pastor Chris Hodges, says this, diet changes the way you look, but fasting changes the way you see. Diet changes the way you look, and fasting changes the way you see. And so some of us really enjoyed the Christmas cookies, like me. But fasting is really supposed to help change the way we see in our perspective. And that's what we want to focus on here today is how are we seeing the world and how are we seeing our problems? Are our problems bigger than God, right? Or how do we view the world in which we're living today? Because here's the thing, God is calling us, I'm telling you, he wants you to seek him first in his righteousness. And so fasting is one of those takeaways, one of those things that you can do to participate right now in helping you get closer to God. It's just one of those things that it's not salvific. You don't have to fast to save your soul. It's not like that. But it's one of those things that draws us near to God in that time. Amen? And so, Brighton Heights, I want to encourage you. We're having prayer times for the next 3 Mondays, starting tomorrow night, from the 5th, the 12th, and the 18th at 6:30, right here in the sanctuary. And we're going to go through together as a church and just praying through the things that God has for us as a church and what's going to happen in 2026. And I encourage you, if just come out and pray together as a church. So again, the first 3 Mondays, starting tomorrow, we're going to be doing that. So that's another way. So praying, fasting. And so here's the thing. A lot of times when we think about our faith, we get things twisted. We get them mixed around. When life is so busy, our priorities change. And so Jesus says this in Matthew 17, verse 14 through 18. So it says this, what Jesus did. It talks about how people taking their eyes and how they're seeing the world and how they're getting things twisted. But at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water." In verse 16, "So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Verse 17, Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people." Sounds harsh, right? "How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy and the demon left him. From that moment, the boy was well. And again, anytime in the New Testament you see the word well, it means wholeness, completeness, restored to his original intent. And so that's what Jesus does. He gives us hope and restores us to the original intent and not twisted in how the world sees us or how the enemy wants us to be. Is it twisted up in our hearts and minds? And so Jesus had given the disciples the authority to do these things, but they were not seeing the fulfillment and the authority in their lives, and so they weren't able to cast that demon out. And so their kind of focus was twisted. They weren't looking at the kingdom of God first. So he calls them corrupt. He calls them corrupt and distorted, and he's saying, you're missing the point of what I've called you to be. You're missing the mission where I've sent you out to be. And so they were distorted and twisted from the shape they were created to be. They missed the mark of the mission that Christ had given them, and they couldn't heal the boy. And so Jesus steps in and heals that and makes things well and fixes this situation for this family. And so we have this, when we think again, this connection to God. We think about our own lives today, and if things aren't going well in our lives, are you connected to God? Are you truly connected to God right now? Are you disconnected? You're saying, I'm not sure I have what it takes, or I'm struggling here. But I want to encourage you, if you're not connected to God, you need to get back connected to him. How do you do that? Well, you seek him first. You begin in prayer and going to his word, and then you fast, really, truly seeking and spending that quality time with God. Worship night coming up. I want to encourage you tonight. One of the other ways we combat and kind of seek first is worship. Worship when we sing songs, when we proclaim our voices and sing out to God and give him praise. The next 3 Sunday nights at Bridge City Church, there are worship nights. Tonight will be a worship night at White Oak. Next week we'll be here at Brighton Heights. And then the 3rd Sunday night will be on the 18th, will be at the North Braddock campus. But this is another opportunity for us to come together as one church and to proclaim and to seek first the kingdom of God through worship. And worshiping together, it's a powerful thing. If you weren't there on the 28th at one of the 2 services, it was a powerful experience. And the God's Church came together and sang and proclaimed. It's just an amazing time. So I encourage you to one of the ways you can seek first the kingdom of God is through the act of worship. And we provide that opportunity for you on those worship nights starting tonight. So worship, fasting, praying, these new habits that we're called to have, what God calls us to do is have these new habits that we're called to focus and to be part of a disciple means to really change the way we think and also the way we live. And so the way we live requires us to have kind of new habits in our lives. I don't know what your habits are, but Jesus is saying, I want you to have these new habits. In Luke 2:52, it says this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." And so as he was a young man, he developed these habits. One of my favorite things when I went to Israel back in 2005, that I actually got to see the place, and it says, "And Jesus withdrew to a lonely place, and it was on the side of the mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee." That's where Jesus spent his devotional time, his alone time with God. And that was part of Jesus' habit. And so we're talking about the things that these habits relate to us relationally, physically, mentally, and emotionally. We're talking about also with our money and giving, how we perceive God in that way. And then spiritually, that all matters to God. So what are we seeking? What are we seeking God? What would our lives look like? What would our kids' relationship with our kids look like if we sought him first? What would our marriages look different if we sought him first, or financially, or even in our, you know, making an impact in our communities, serving our communities, or maybe even here at Brighton Heights Church? What would it look different if you fully participated and sought him? And so seeking first the kingdom of God spiritually, there's three takeaways I want to give you, just that we don't get twisted and kind of lose our focus. So the first one is this: we need to repent. The first one is we need to repent. Repent of the things in our lives that we stumble from. Repent of the things in the hearts, of the attitudes of the heart, and the bad habits that we had, and repent of those. Repentance in the Bible, if you're new to that word, means you were going one way. When you repent, you decide you're going to go back the other way, which you came. It's this full stop. And so repentance is that first thing that we need to do in 2026. Be all in for Jesus with all of us, all of our heart, mind, soul, and body. Be all in, but all that begins with repentance, asking God to forgive you, identifying those things that cause you to stumble, but it begins with repentance. Acts 3 says this, Paul writes, it says this: "Therefore, repent, therefore, turn back, and that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that they may send Christ appointed for you, Jesus." And so, again, Luke writing Acts, he says this, that you know, repent. He's calling the people then at that time to repent, to turn back to God. And so from the Old Testament to the New, to 2026, we're called to repent. We're called to turn back to God, to turn away from the things that distract us from having that relationship. They're not feelings. The word repentance is a biblical word that isn't kind of like about feeling, but it's more of action and putting hands and feet in your thoughts and doing it that way. And so it really is, it's about an action word, not just a feeling word. That's what it means to repent. The second thing is this, we're called to repent. And the second thing is this, we're called to reset. To reset, using my phone again as an illustration, if my phone freezes up or my laptop freezes up, what do? I just hit the reset and it goes back to normal, goes back the way it is. Some of you today need to have a hard reset. You just need a hard reset. I'm there with you. I need the hard reset. That things are going in different directions, it feels crazy. That doesn't mean things are going to change forever, but what it could change is your attitude and your perspective, what you're seeking. So that hard reset is important for us, the hard reset. And so our mind spiritually, what we've dealt with in the past and what we've gone through in the past, and some of us have had a tough 2025 or maybe something even further back, but here's the thing, that because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can move on from that. It doesn't make it right that happened to you, and I'm sorry for that thing that happened, but we're called to move on and reset and move forward into that next chapter of our lives, move forward in God. And so one of the other ways we can do this, I want to just encourage you to do this. We have a thing at Bridge City Church called Victory and Freedom. How many of you have been to a Victory Freedom at least one time? Okay, some of you. Victory and Freedom is a thing that we have for men and women. On January 30th and 31st, the women will be at North Braddock, and the men will be at White Oak. The cost is $25. That's not the important thing. The important thing is this, is it helps you reset yourself spiritually. It helps you identify the schemes and the habits and in your history that need to be surrendered and given over to God. And so that's an intentional time for you to have a reset, a hard reset in your life. Luke 4:16-17, it says this: "So Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." And so Jesus, as he was growing up, he would go to the synagogue and he would read. And it says this: "He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book and he found the place where it was written." This is what it says in Luke 18-19. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and to recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. And so as he's doing this, he's proclaiming this kind of scripture and this prophecy to the people of the time. But it was who Jesus was, and it was a hard reset at this time in scripture and a reminder for God's people to turn back to him, that he was the one he was reading about. And some of us need that hard reset and focus to turn back to God. What is it that's causing you to not go forward in that reset? I want to challenge you. Really examine that. Give that to God and reset. Hit that reset button on your life spiritually. And then finally, the third thing is to renew. We're called to be renewed. So we have repent, we have reset, we're called to be renewed. Renewed, what does that mean? To make new, as God said, in his truth in scripture. But the purposes, renewed what? Purposes, routines, habits, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we think, having those renewed and submitted under the cross and to the cross, and letting the Spirit move in us to do that. And so the biggest game changer for us is that if we could see ourselves the way God sees us, if we could just see that and know that God loves us and wants us to be all that we're called to be, and not to be defined by our history or our past, whatever that is, that we're called to live in him. What I love about this is that God is able to rewrite your future. He's able to direct and take you to a place that you never could go. He's able to give you that hope that you're desperately needing, and he's calling you to do that. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so you think about this, God sees you as his workmanship. Think of the most beautiful painting maybe you've ever seen, or something you have hanging in your home. God sees you more valuable than that. He sees you as his workmanship. It means he has this love relationship with you. He looks at you with fondness. He sees your potential. He wants you to see him as your hope for a future. That's what he says. And so he wants to renew your thinking. He wants to renew how you're seeing your life and how you're seeing the world. But what's stopping us from being renewed is holding on to those things and refusing to let go of those things and surrender them to Jesus. That's what's causing them to not be renewed and to see ourselves as workmanship. Max Lucado says, I think I've used this before. He says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He sees you as his workmanship. He loves you. And so as you see that, you should feel empowered, encouraged, that there's a hope for your life. No matter what may happen, no matter if your son gets a cut on his leg, that God has a hope and plan for you, but you have to keep seeking him. You can't give in to those other things. You have to move forward in your faith, and you've got to walk in that obedience. And I want to encourage you to do that. Develop those new habits. Think about some new habits that you can walk in and that you can draw closer to God so he can draw closer to you and form and shape you into the man and woman you're called to be. That's what he wants for you. And so when we do this, we need to see in faith. We need to see in faith, walk out of here in faith that God is going to do a new thing in your life in this new year, seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what we're called to do. When we do that, it will change how we look at life, how we look at ourselves, and how we look at others. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Melanie and my wife, looking to get a new house. And there was this home that came up, and it was near where we lived before we moved to Ohio, and we moved back. And she saw in this house what it could be, and all I saw was the amount of money that we were going to shuck out. But Melanie saw in this house what could be, or saw the home, what it could look like, the paint colors, the scheme, the woman's touch. I didn't see that. I'm a dopey man, right? I couldn't see it. But here's the thing. She could see what it could potentially become. God sees in you what you could become. And it's through Jesus Christ that we have that hope. It's in his resurrection that we have that hope. And so that's what your 2026 could look like if you seek him all that you have. So I want to invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for this first Sunday of the year. And Father, we're a people that we're here. We could be anywhere else, but we're here with you. We're here in worship. And so Father, may you help us to seek you first. Help us as a people to identify those things that were in the way. Help us not to be tripped up by all the things in our life, all the stuff, all the noise. It's exhausting, Lord. So help us to be renewed and refreshed in you. Lord, that we repent of those things, that we need your Holy Spirit to reset us and help us to move forward. And so, Father, I just pray right now for anybody that might not know you for the first time, heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you want to know this Jesus that can bring you this peace and hope in your life. And if that's you, just want you to raise your hand right where you are. I want to to pray with you. You could also hit that tap card in front of you if you have questions. Someone wants to pray with you. But this is the time, this is the moment to have that hard reset in your life. And Father, I just pray for those right now that have been walking with you for the long time, Lord, that you would bless them in this new year. Lord, that you give them a hope, that you help them to focus you, to seek you first with all that they have. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Give Pastor Ben a hand. You can be